I like to start with a question sometimes. My question today is this: what does perfection look like? What does perfection look like? Is it something we see in the mirror, morning by morning? From the reaction I'm getting, perhaps not. Is it something we see in the face of those we love? Perfection? Well, no, not even in the face of those we love. No one of us is perfect. Only God is perfect. Today, as we've been remembering, is Father's Day, and a time when we've been thinking, I'm sure, about our own fathers and perhaps how we are ourselves as a father. Jesus, though, encourages us to see God as a Father, our Father in heaven. We say so often, our heavenly Father. And more than that, Jesus tells us not simply that God is our Father, but that we can call him Daddy, that intimate name, Abba. He tells us that our relationship with God is a close one, a relationship founded on the love of a father for his child. In the Bible, there are many stories of fathers, of human fathers. We think of Adam himself, to start with, the father of Cain and Abel. There's Abraham. That's a great story, isn't it, in the book of Genesis. Abraham is the father of Isaac, and obedient to God, he's prepared to sacrifice his son only for a ram to be substituted at the last moment. And Abraham, too, is told by God that his children will multiply as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. A great dynasty. And Abraham is indeed regarded as a great father, a great figure of faith. And then there's Jesse. Jesse from Bethlehem. Bethlehem, of course, best known to us from stories of Christmas, because it's where Jesus is born, but it's also where Jesse lived, and Jesse's story was the one that Sarah read to us from that reading in the Old Testament this morning. The story of how King Saul is rejected by God for his disobedience, and how the prophet and judge, the ruler, Samuel, is called to anoint Saul's successor. Now that's cramming an awful lot of history into just a short sentence, but that captures, I think, the essence of it. It's a great story if you want to read it for yourself. And as Samuel is called to go to anoint Saul's successor, he's so afraid he has to invent a spurious reason as to why he's going to Bethlehem. And he says, I'm going to Bethlehem to sacrifice. And when he arrives, he asks Jesse to call his sons over. And one by one they come. This one, Lord? No. Nope. 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 Seven times. Any more sons? Asks Samuel. Just one, says Jesse. He's out in the fields with the sheep. Young David. He's described as handsome, and that is something that lands him in bother later. But it is God's choice. This young boy, David, the shepherd boy, the writer of the Psalms, of many of them, and the slayer of Goliath, the Philistine. And yet, this young boy, the youngest of them all, is anointed by God. What a surprise. But then, God is a God of surprises. I used to love it when my dad came home with a surprise. And very often, it would be a quarter of sweets. That's what we called them in those days. A quarter of sweets. Do you remember? A quarter of sweets. It's about 100 grams of sweets these days. But sometimes I feel short-changed because 100 grams isn't quite as much as a quarter pound of sweets. But these surprises that we enjoy, they didn't astound us, though, in the same way as God's surprises. God's surprises change the course of history. And they certainly did. When faced with the disobedience, with the willfulness and the waywardness of his people, God sent his only Son into the world. He sent Jesus. And it is in Jesus that we see what our Father is like. Just as in our sons, people can see what we are like, so in Jesus we can see what God is like. And at the time, people were separated from God. Just imagine a great chasm between God and his people. No hope of crossing. And it was by dying on the cross that Jesus bridged that gap between the Father and his children. Reconciliation. Jesus gives his life so that we can live. That we can live by accepting the good news, by saying sorry and believing in Jesus. It became possible to turn lives around. As people, one by one, gave their lives to Jesus through his example, through his teaching, salvation is what we call it, being saved. We're saved from the ways of the world. The ways of the world that are often called the darkness. And we're called to walk instead in the ways of God, walking in the light of Christ. Sometimes that's what we're called to, is we're called to live kingdom values. Of course, a kingdom is where a monarch reigns. And Jesus often spoke of the kingdom of God, the place where God reigns. It's something that will come in the end of time as Jesus returns and God reigns here on earth. Sometimes might think of that as being there and then. But God's kingdom is also here and now, in the hearts and minds of his people on earth today, those who follow him and seek to live their lives God's way, seek to grow in Christian faith, seek to give in Christian service, seek to share the good news of the kingdom. And it's a kingdom where human values are cast aside, where values are based on God's rule of love. They're topsy-turvy, upside-down values. They're based on love, not hate your enemies. They're based on putting others and not yourself first. And in our gospel, Jesus gave us two examples of what the kingdom of God is like in those two short parables, those two short stories with a point. The kingdom of God is like a seed that's planted, and it grows and grows day by day until it's ready for harvest. And so the seed of God's word, perhaps something someone says to us, perhaps something that happens to us, it's planted in our lives and it grows until we blossom, until perhaps we need to do something to share with others the story of our faith, of how we ourselves come to faith from that small seed that is planted. I know that I could ask lots of you this morning here how the seed was planted in your life and how it came to the time of harvest, how you recognized that God was calling you. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He also says that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. And I think he must have had a sense of humour, because actually a mustard seed isn't the smallest seed we know these days, and it certainly doesn't grow into the greatest plant. But it makes the point, I think, this parable, that there is room for all in God's kingdom. There's room for you, there's room for me, there's room for everyone. Well, at least that's one understanding. And although we will never be perfect, as God is perfect, we can grow. We can grow in our lives to be more like him as we come to know him better as our Father, as we come to be more and more people who want and strive to live out the values of the kingdom of God, as we read his word, as we worship and praise, as we come together in fellowship, as we take times of quietness, as we pray, and as we serve others. All these help us to grow strong roots. And remember, God so often surprises us that we mustn't be surprised at what God may call us to. His surprises so often radically change his children's lives, change them in so many ways. God and his surprises have certainly changed my life. Perhaps they have changed your life, or perhaps that change is still to come. It's in our Father's hands, the one who plants the seeds of his love in our hearts, and who sees them grow. Amen.